All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you're in charge. We give you complete reins, Lord, and we thank you for taking over, using us as your spokesperson. And not only that, Father, we thank you for the revelations that you're going to give us tonight. Whatever you want to do, Lord, that's what we'll do, because you're going to get the glory. None of us can get the glory, because it all comes from you. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, for protecting all of us during these times of trouble, seems like. And Lord, we thank you for your protection upon our president and our families and us. Lord, we thank you for answering our prayers for our family members that we've been praying for all these many years. We thank you, Lord, that when the time comes, they'll be getting a hold of us and asking us, what do I need to do? And Lord, we'll be able to tell them. Thank you, Lord, for giving us direction tonight. Thank you, Lord, for all of my brothers and sisters out there. I ask for your anointing upon each and every one of them, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father. We don't want to do anything but what you want us to do. And we praise you and we glorify you for all that's accomplished in your name. Amen and amen. Okay. Let me let these people in here. Lana and Dave Nelson. Okay. All right. Who's got a prayer request?
I do.
Go ahead, Debbie.
No. Who was ahead of me? Sorry. I am so excited. So excited because I have my best friend years ago became not my best friend anymore after we became part of UBM. Really sad. She's my best friend in the Lord, she was. And we've tried communicating a little bit, but nothing's been really close, you know, every now and then. Well, she texted me the other day, a couple days ago. I texted her back. She didn't respond, so I called her tonight. I really pray about calling. We've been really praying for her, too, and it was just so good. I hung up, and I was just dancing. So it was so wonderful because she was receptive, and she's very blah, she feels, spiritually, and their church isn't really meeting anymore. I told her all that we do. Talk about the conference calls, invite her to get on, told her I'll send her an invite, and she was like, yeah, what nights are those? And so she was just, compared to what she was before, she was very receptive. I know God is working in her, and I was so thankful for the Lord for doing that. So we had a good talk. I did most of the talking. She said, wow, you're more excited than last time I talked to you. I said, well, I was excited then too, but yeah, a lot more is going on. I was able to tell her some things, you know, and so it was really good. So I want to pray for her. And then Denny's going to share about our daughter, too, while we're on here, too. But I just pray for Linda, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for encouraging me, Lord, and Denny, encouraging us in this, Lord, and seeing us answer to prayer, Lord. And I thank you, God, that you're making her thirsty for more of you, Lord, thirsty for truth, thirsty for wanting to receive, Lord, what you have for her, God. You would open her eyes and her ears to listen, hear, and receive from you. I pray, Lord, that she will listen to the God's vaccine I shared, and I pray that she'll be blessed by that and keep her ears and eyes open, Lord God, to receive from you, Lord. And I just thank you for what you're doing, Lord. And I just know you're not going to stop. Just I bind the enemy right now from blinding her, from deceiving her and lying to her, telling her lies as she does read and hear things. In Jesus' name, I thank you, God, you're going to have her heart completely open to receive from you, Lord. And I pray that you would lead her to get on to one of these calls with us, Lord, and share her heart and her prayer requests, Lord, and bring them before you. I pray you just meet every need in her heart, Lord God, in her life. And I thank you that you're going to do that, Lord, and you're doing it now. I just thank you, God, for answered prayer in this relationship, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Amen. in the, like to share too, our daughter, Victory, she just had some real negative stuff on Facebook and that, and she was just down and, you know, just really not happy, dissatisfied, and everything's like blah, you know, and, you know, she has three children, and, you know, I don't know, she said, I want the best for them, but we're stuck in, yeah, I don't know, just that kind of stuff, you know, but, so we were just interceding and praying, and couldn't really get a hold of her. She was kind of ducking us a little bit on the phone, and, but I talked a few minutes ago, and she said that a brother in the Lord that we know from back there and another friend are coming over tonight to visit them. They wanted to just share with her, and they felt like they had something, a word from the Lord for her. And they used to be part of the church that she used to go to, and we think it's really a good thing. And that's, so I just know that God has answered our prayers, and we couldn't say much to her, but yet God is sending someone. So we pray for that right now, for Victory, when Joe and whoever else is with them is coming over, God, and we just thank you that your word, Father, would come and just touch her heart and comfort her and minister to her, Father. We just thank you, Father. Just give her, just boost her up, Lord, in faith, and give her faith and, Father, hope. We just pray for that in Jesus' name, for her situation with the three children and not married, oh God, we just lift all this up to you for Victory, and we thank you for it, God. Thank you for your faithfulness, God. We just receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for answered prayer. All right. Thank you, Lord. All right, go ahead, Claire.
So on, I think Wednesday or whatever night it is for you, the last time we spoke, I told you about my little daughter who woke up and she had those welts on her body, and we prayed for her and it was gone. And straight after that, we got off the fellowship and Rian came home for lunch, and we were sitting in the dining room having our lunch, and her face just started swelling, and we lifted up her dress and she had these, like, I even gasped, and nothing really shocks me, but I went like that when I saw her body, and she was completely red. I've never seen such big welts in my life before. And I said to Rian, but we prayed and it left. And he said, absolutely. So I said, we just looked at each other, and he said to me, it's fine. And she was super chilled. And I thought, okay, well, I think I'll put her in the bath. I haven't washed her hair for a while. We went away last week. Do you know what I mean? I was just thinking, like, is there anything that I have done? And then I thought, but we've prayed and it's healed, and I've just given my testimony to all of you. So how weird that this would happen. Anyway, I ran the bath, and while we were in the bath, I said to her, Tabby, is there anything in your heart, my love? Is there anything that's coming up that you feel maybe isn't right, or you're jealous of your sister or something like that, or Daniel's irritating you? And she said, no, mommy. She said, no, not at all. I said, no, me neither. And Rian said, he was in the bathroom with us, and he said, no, me neither. And so we just gave her an early bath, as it were, and prayed over her the whole time. I put cream on her body, and
I asked the Lord for word, remember?
Yes, he asked the word.
And what I opened up was, if your heart condemns you not, you have boldness towards God.
Yeah.
And we said, oh, okay, well, everything's fine. So we've got boldness, and, you know, we can have that boldness. And so, and she was fine. She was smiling.
She wasn't stressed out or anything. Mm. And we continued with schoolwork after I dried her hair for her. And she had a super shiny little face now, because I did some exfoliation just for fun, just make it like a little spa while she's in there. And within an hour and a half, like, those welts were gone, as in gone. Like, there's nothing. And it's now the second day. They haven't even, you know, normally these sorts of things can sort of recede and come back and recede, but this is supernatural because it's gone. It's gone, gone, gone. And she is happy and healthy and jumping around, and, well, not jumping around. I mean, she's a sweet little girl, but she's beautifully, her body is clear, clear, clear. It's like it never happened. And I just, there's only one person, only one that can do that, and that's God. And it's, oh, so exciting.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, We praise you, Father, for your answer to prayers immediately upon our children or anybody.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Amen. That's awesome. All right, anyone else? I got a small testimony. I gave it this morning in the morning prayer meeting. But I was contacted by an old friend from, I guess she'd been a friend about 40 something years, and hadn't heard from her in a while. And anyway, I was talking to her. She's a Christian. She's full of the Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. And she was getting dissatisfied with where she was. So what I did after I got off texting her, I just sent her the first chapter of Sovereign God. And the next morning, she texted me back. She said, oh my goodness. She said, I sat from 7 o'clock to 12 o'clock reading and studying that thing you sent me. Is there more? I said, and I texted her back and I sent her the website and the book page. I said, I told her it came out of Sovereign God, that she can get the book, download. She said she gave it to a friend of hers that was in the same position she was, said it really got him hooked on that too. So we'll see. And I gave her information about the conference call. I asked her, well, if you wanted to, you could come on the outreach and have fellowship with some good believers, you know. So we'll see what happens, see what God's doing. God's doing a mighty work out there, it looks like. He's opening up people's minds and their eyes. Okay, anyone else got a testimony or praise report? Yeah, go ahead, Paula.
Hi, everyone. I just have a prayer request for one of my dad's friends. I've never met her, but she reached out to me when my dad passed away. And they've known each other for years. They were in the same book club. Very bright woman, very talented. She lives on a farm quite far away from here, but we've kind of connected over WhatsApp and we've spoke over the phone once. And then, you know, she seems to be very intuitive as well. She's a believer. And the other day I just asked her, is there something specific that I can pray for? I just sensed she was really feeling down. And then she told me that she has cancer and she's had cancer for 3 years and she's really, she doesn't want to, you know, fight this anymore. She knows God can heal, but she's tired. She is so tired, you know, and I tried to encourage her and I told her about UBM and I told her about the teachings that have changed my life and really opened the word for me. And she seemed interested. And then I asked her if I can email her the book, Sovereign God. And then she, all of a sudden, it was just like, no, you know, it's too much for her. She doesn't want anything. Can she get back to me on that? And I said, sure, you know, whenever she feels right. So I just want us to agree for her that the Lord just touches her heart, that whatever is there that had this, because it was quite, you know, quite a reaction, that whatever is trying to block that it just goes away and that she will be able to receive and be healed and blessed. So her name is Frida. So I'll just go ahead. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name and we bring Frida to you. Lord, you know her inside out. You know everything about her. You know every thought. You know everything she's been battling with. And I just ask you for your mercy and your precious grace on her. And I ask you that you'll just provide everything that she needs, Lord, to be able to have that really close walk with you, and that walk of faith, and that she will just be comforted as well in this time, Lord. You know exactly what she needs. I'm just asking you for her. I'm asking you to please be with her, and that whatever is there that had that big reaction against what I said, what I asked, I'm asking you that you will remove that, and that she will be able to fully receive your truth and just a love of your truth, Lord. And that she will recognize truth when she sees it, and that she will recognize deception, and that you will really guide her with your precious Holy Spirit and just transform her life, her whole life, Lord, including her body. And I cast down the spirit of cancer, and I bind the works of the enemy. And I just declare that you will not destroy in her life anymore. Frida, I want to command you free in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that it will be for your glory. It will be for the glory of Jesus. And I just plead the blood of Jesus over her life, for protection for her and her family, and that she will just love you with her whole being. And that she will be a new person, and that I will be able to send her the teachings from UBM, and that she will just, I want to say, gobble it up and just be so blessed by it. Thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we've got some power in this group of people right here. As you know, we're going to put our minds together and just picture Frida right now. Every one of us are closing our eyes and imagining Frida. We don't know what she looks like, but you do. We're just going to picture her as someone who gets so hungry for the Lord that she'll reach out to Paula to give her information, the book, Sovereign God, or the Real Good News, or whatever you desire that she has, that she needs. We thank you, Father, for opening up her spiritual eyes and her spiritual ears once again. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind up that wall, and I break it by the power of the Holy Spirit, reaching through there right now, breaking that wall that's keeping her from receiving from the Lord. In Jesus' name, I bind up and cast off of her that spirit of death. In Jesus' name, and I thank you, Lord, that you are opening her eyes to the real good news. And I praise you, Father, that this is going to be a catalyst for her and many people around her. And you're going to get the glory, Lord. Only you can get the glory for this. And we praise you for it. And just like Paula said, we cast off the spirit of cancer right now in the name of Jesus. We cast off the spirit of the fear of cancer right now in the name of Jesus. We cast off that spirit of death off of her right now in the name of Jesus. And we command every symptom of that to leave too in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in Frida right now. And I can see her jumping up with joy and giving the glory to you, Father, as you do these things for her, Lord, as she comes to the knowledge And she doesn't have to rely on man to heal her. But it's only God that can do it. A thorough job of it and to restore her back to normal. In the name of Jesus. Full of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues and glorifying you every breath, Father. Thank you for doing it for Frida. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Does everybody believe that? Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Father. I believe it. Woo, my. That's some power going out to her right now. Okay. Yes, Marilyn.
When Paul was praying, I got a little vision of like a white flag being raised, like, you know, when you surrender to the enemy. And, you know, what was coming to me is a spirit of just giving up and defeat and surrender to the enemy. And so we bind all that up, Lord. Amen. I pray we bind all these evil spirits up, the spirits of discouragement, giving up, surrender to death. Bind this up in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray you would give Frida the will to live and to live for Jesus. Hallelujah. I pray that you preserve her unto the day of the fullness of salvation. And Father, I pray that you would strengthen her in the inner man with faith. That she's going to go from just mental assent and hope of, well, I know God could heal me. Look, Father, to real faith. To real faith, Father, I pray that you even give her the gift of faith. And we bind up this spirit of weakness and oppression and a darkness and exhaustion. We command that out of her and off of her in Jesus' name. Angels, go and take care of this. And Father, I pray that you just, as I'm in agreement with Michael, that you're just going to supernaturally infuse her with the life of Christ. Spirit, soul, and body, and she's going to wake up. And this enemy is defeated. It was defeated at the cross. And we thank you for what you're doing in Frida. And Father, we just thank you for the great testimony and glory to God. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we just pray that she finds the real Jesus and the real good news that does things for you and gets away from this false Jesus and another gospel, Lord God, and clings to you and is healed in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Go ahead, Pat.
Father, just thank you for Frida, Lord. I see in her, I see her face just radiant before you, Lord, just a clarity coming to her mind and a peace to her mind. I just command peace. I command light. Lord, let there be light in her spirit, that she grasps the truth, that she is seeking the truth, Lord. Let that spirit of depression drop from her. We thank you for that, Lord. We bind those spirits that would try to pull her down, but we thank you, Lord, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But Lord, we thank you that you are the author and finisher of our faith, that you know how to bring us from the depths of despair and place our eyes upon you, Lord. I just thank you for the light that you're shining in her heart right now, even now, and put that desire to know you in her, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you for this place where she is at, for we know you brought her to that place, that you know exactly what you're doing in her life, Lord. So we just pray for Frida that you would open up her eyes, open up her heart and desire and draw her to you. We thank you for that. We thank you for your grace that is able to draw us to you and to open up our eyes to the good news of your word. And we thank you for it, Lord. We just claim her life for you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, David.
I wasn't going to pray as much as I would like to take and have everybody just use our imaginations right now and everything we've prayed for Preeta. And imagine the angels now around her and touching her, ministering to her heart. Imagine her this oppression lifting, all this heaviness lifting in your imagination. Imagine seeing her coming in peace to the Lord. Imagine her body being healed right now and delivered, all the cancers going and dying and being warded off. Now she's getting renewed energy. Imagine that she's praising the Lord, and we're all going to praise the Lord at the same time. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you for ministering to her. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you. We see that. We see it all happening now. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Pray to get up off that bed of affliction and start giving God the glory in Jesus' name. Praise you. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Ooh, my. She's going to be calling you, Paula. Paula, what'd you do? God visited me. Oh, my. Thank you, Lord. I love it. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. All right, anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Praise be to the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody got a praise report or a testimony here? How about a dream? Anybody got a dream out there? Angelica.
I have a dream. Yes, I do. well, thank God, because my internet just came up right now. It went out. There's some kind of storms going around, but I usually don't have trouble. So anyway, it just came back up now. And the dream that I posted in the blog was Lisa Galt's dream, and she had it on May 8th, 2017. She says, "I don't share my dreams often, but this one came to mind today, and I felt it was time to share. I was watching Hannity on TV in the dream. I was watching Hannity on TV when all of a sudden the studio they were in started to shake. As the shaking got worse, Hannity and his guests had the look of panic on their faces. He yelled, 'Oh no, it's an earthquake.' Then parts of the ceiling started falling and the TV screen went blank. In my dream, I woke up, but still in the dream, and started telling my husband of the dream and dream I just had. We were thinking it must mean NYC is going to have an earthquake because that is where Hannity does his show. Next thing we know, word came through that NYC had an earthquake, and we were shaken because it had just had, I just had the dream. So in 2017, I guess there was an earthquake, and kind of like God confirmed that, you know, at that time, you know, when she had that dream. And then she goes on to say, there was another part of the dream where I saw water covering parts of land. Some people were drowning and others survived. I saw the water going back and forth over the land, then back out to sea, and it was like the earth was tilting back and forth. As it tilted one way, the water went over the land, and tilted the opposite way, the water went back out to sea. In the dream, I had thought, so this is what it means, that the earth will reel to and fro. And I thought that was interesting that she just shared that, because David had just sent an email, I think it was Monday, about, you know, Planet X, Nibiru, about the shields being down. And I think we've had other revelations about Nibiru. And from what they're saying is that the magnetism on this thing is so strong that it's going to cause the earth to tilt. And that's where a lot of the, you know, the coastal cities are in danger of these, you know, of being overwhelmed by floods and, of course, mass death and all that stuff. So I just thought it was interesting that the Lord brought it to her remembrance at this time. And we did pray at the Friday meeting about the Lord just granting grace and mass exodus of his people, and even last minute translating people out if they, you know, if need be, you know, because this is not something you can really escape in the natural. And so I just wanted to share that. And I mean, that kind of confirms Sandy's dream. Michael, you know more about that.
Yeah, that was the, you're talking about the one she had.
About the NYC three. Dream.
Yeah.
In the East Coast.
Yeah. That was, she had that dream four times. So that was where she was up above New York City flying or watching. And she said that it was like fire, on fire, mud was coming up out of the earth. It sounded more like a volcano erupting with the molten lava coming out of it. And people were falling off into it. She saw people just falling off into this great thing in New York City. And then there was an earthquake that went all the way down the East Coast, down to the Gulf. And from that earthquake, there were shoots, I don't know what you call them, but the earth was cracking all the way over toward the New Madrid. And it set off the New Madrid zone there, the earthquake. That was a massive earthquake. She said she was over the Great Lakes, and the Great Lakes emptied out and just flooded the whole Midwest. And that the Mississippi River was in some places 50 miles wide, or a chasm there that was 50 miles wide at least. And it went all the way to the Gulf. And then she said from that earthquake, it was sent out some tentacles both east and west. When the one at the west went out to the San Andreas Fault, set it off, part of California fell off, but it also at the same time sent one over to the East Coast on the Tennessee Fault, and set that one off, and that's what created the boat. But anyway, lots of people died, and she had that dream exactly the same way four different times, and that's basically it. It's on the website. But anyway, that's what happened there. And if you've ever seen the government map, how they anticipate this flooding to happen at some point in time, it covers, the water covers most of the Midwest, from Louisiana all the way up through, you know, up to the Great Lakes up in that area, and it just spreads out all over the place. And only a little portion of Arkansas was left, and I forget now where it all was, but anyway, a lot of devastation, and that's coming. I really believe it. I believe that's gonna happen here sometime in the near future. Thank you, Angelica. That kind of tied in with that with hers. Yes, Sue.
I found Isaiah 24:20 talks about, I'll read it. The earth reels to and fro like a drunkard, and it totters like a shack or a hut. For its transgression is heavy upon it, and it will fall, never to rise again.
It's hard to understand you when Judy's talking too.
Oh, I'll read it again. Isaiah 24. Maybe I'll read 19 first. The earth is broken asunder. The earth is split through. The earth is shaken violently. Verse 20. The earth reels to and fro like a drunkard.
Amen.
For as transgression is heavy upon it, and it will fail, never to rise again. So it will happen in that day that the Lord will punish the host of heaven on high, and the kings of the earth on earth. The kings of the earth on earth. I read 19 to 21.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, in the word. I'm sorry. I apologize.
That's okay, Judy. That's all right. It's your computer, girl. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Yeah, go ahead, Ria.
I just, as Angelica was reading it, I thought the last, when she mentioned the waters going to and fro, it reminded me of the last time that happened. The first mention of it in the Bible is when God started the creation and the Spirit went over the earth to and fro as the waters covered it. And so that's one thing that kind of stood out for me, kind of meaning it is you know, beginning of the new creation as well, or the 7 days of the tribulation is what it's warning of. But also in the dream, she was sitting watching TV or Hannity, I suppose. I just quickly looked it up. I didn't know what Hannity was, but I see it's like a news commentator on Fox News or something. And we have been given the news of this for many, many years, but a lot of people are just going to be sitting watching TV or the news and going to see it happen when it's too late. We haven't given these warnings, and it's on us to prepare and get ready for it. Just because we've known it for many, many years doesn't mean it's not going to happen, or that it can still take many years. We shouldn't be just sitting watching TV and seeing it happen live and be panicked and frightened. But the dreams is how we know of all of this happening, and then confirm it in the Word, just like we read in Isaiah now.
Amen. That's exactly right. Now, I've warned people about it back here and told them about it, you know, years ago. I've been telling them for a long time that it's going to happen, you know. And I told him this. I said, you're not going to believe it until it happens. But when it happens, call me and I'll tell you what you need to do. Don't pack your suitcase, hit your knees, start repenting, and get gone. Come this way. Go ahead, Pat.
I don't know if it's... I was reading the first of that chapter, and it kind of made me think about something, but in Isaiah 24, the very first verse in that says, "Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it waste and turns it upside down and scatters abroad the inhabitants thereof." When I was thinking, we're talking about the shaking that's coming. And I remember having an experience, which before I was a Christian, and it aligns up with my experience with the Lord and how he kind of teaches us through the process here. And when I was younger, I used to do a lot of hang gliding. And when I started doing that, I actually started hang gliding by accident. I was up visiting a friend of mine that took me. He asked me if I wanted to go out and learn how to, hang glide. And I said, well, sure, that sounds like fun. I'll give it a try, because I was young and stupid. And of course, you know, kids don't think about death, or they don't think about those types of things, nor did I at the time. But he gave me a quick 15-minute primer on how to hang glide. And we were standing up at the top of this 200 or 300 foot sand dune in Idaho, and he said, okay, so here's how you do it. I said, of course, I want to, you know, so what do? I just hop into this thing and go, yeah, sure. You just hop in it, and it's just like a pendulum. You're just like a pendulum in there. And so when you get going down there, you just tilt the hang glider, you know, tilt yourself in the hang glider, just like a pendulum. And at the time he was telling me that, I couldn't understand what the heck does a pendulum have to do with, you know, with this. I didn't catch it. But here, this is what shows you how, I guess, stupid. There's the only thing I can say. But I thought, well, it can't be that difficult. I'll learn it while I'm in the air. So I'll figure it out when I get up there, type of thing. Well, it didn't work. Obviously, I got up in the air. The air caught me. I got run down the hill. I caught the air. And of course, the wind caught me in a way and pushed me off. And I started going downwind. Well, just an interesting thing about learning to hang gliding is that the concept of it obviously is aerodynamics. You have to have air going under your wings in order to keep you in control and to be able to stay aloft. You have to be going exactly 20 in those days, in the type of kites that were available then, you had to be going about 21 miles per hour. There had to be 21 miles an hour of wind going under your wings to keep you aloft. Well, when you turn downwind and you are trying to stay aloft, you're going faster than whatever 21 miles an hour is. And if you've ever tried to run 35 miles an hour, it does not work. So anyway, I'm sorry, I'm probably elaborating too much on this. So I crashed the kite, and then my brother was on with me at the time. He decided to try it, and the wind caught him before he could even take off. Went straight up, came back down, broke the kite. So I immediately become the owner of a broken kite. So he said, listen, I'll buy the parts. We'll get it fixed. You can go back home, come back in 3 or 4 weeks and pick it up, and then you'll have a hang glider. I said, great. Then I said this, listen, do you have a book I could read about this process, about hang gliding, you know? He says, sure. So he gave me a book. I went home. He ordered the parts. I went home, and for the next 3 weeks, I simply read that book. And the interesting thing about it was, when I read from somebody that knew how to teach the process, they explained the concept behind it. And what happened is then I understood, oh, this is how it works. This is what you're doing. when you get up there in the air, this is what you're trying to do. You're not acting like a pendulum, whatever that means. There's actually what I understood what how it is that you technically fly a kite. Now, the only reason I bring that up is that the next in 3 weeks when the part was fixed, I went back there, and we decided to go back out and fly it to test it. And so what happened is we went up and he said, well, you want to start down here? I said, no, I know what I'm doing. I mean, I understand the concept now. And so we went up on a certain hill, like 300, 400, 500 feet, I don't remember what it was, and took off. And I flew it down the hill, absolutely in control. I understood how to operate this thing. So there was a little bit of fear, of course, when you take off, there's a certain amount of exhilaration you take off, and then the ground leaves your feet and you're up there. But just the understanding, knowing how to control yourself in that environment through the particular laws of aerodynamics and understanding how it works, there's a certain sense of peace even in the midst of the in the midst of the excitement of doing something new. But you're doing something according to the word, according to the laws of aerodynamics. So you know, you understand exactly how it works. Obviously there's a learning curve and you have to learn certain things. But later on, when I got to the coast, I moved to the coast of Oregon, and over on the coast, flying is a little bit different over there, because when you're in land, you are bailing off of high cliffs or high mountains or something like that, and then you're going out into the air searching for thermals in order to ride those thermals up higher so that you can stay in the air longer. On the coast, you're by the beach, there's a constant flow of air that comes up in off of the beach and pushes up the ridge of the beach, and it's a constant flow. So it's a very comforting, peaceful type of controlled flight. The experience I had is one day I was up there with a bunch of friends, and I was on the top of the mountain. I was waiting for the wind to pick up so I could take off, and I simply just lifted up the edge of the nose of my kite and caught the air in there and just floated up about 2 feet off of the ground. And as I was just rocking there, trying to catch a little more wind, I was up in the air 2 or 3 feet away from my friends that were standing arm's length away from me, talking to me as I was standing there. Now, the interesting thing is once you get up in the air, it's completely peaceful, completely quiet, because you become part of the air. You become part of that. There's no more, you know, a wind blowing your hair or any of that. It's all very calm and peaceful. And when you're sitting there watching the ground lift up and disappear from your feet, there's a certain sense of, if you don't know what you're doing, the farther you get away from the ground, you're looking down and there it becomes more fearful. But if you are comfortable with what you're doing, you're not looking down, you're looking up. And the Lord took me through a time later on in my life, took me back to that example, that when you understand, when you receive the spiritual words of aerodynamics that God gives us in His Word, you're able to float when that ground leaves your feet, when things start to get rough and struggle, and when that ground falls away from your feet and you have no control, you are totally in God's control. When you are resting in His Word and in the law of His the perfect law of liberty in Christ, there's a resting that takes place there and a peace that once you're up into the air, into His, you're resting on that truth in Him. It's a very peaceful and calm thing, and you don't have to worry about what's happening on the ground. So it was kind of more of an experiential type of, this is how it is type of feeling that I had. But it just, when we were talking about this and the ground leaving our feet and turning upside down, it just kind of reminded me of those, that as we latch on to His Word and we learn to rest on His Word, He pulls us up above the turmoil of the earth. So that was all I had.
Okay. I believe that's the first time I've ever had anybody with a hang gliding experience explain the rest of God to me, but it was good. For He is the Lord. But I was thinking he was going more along the line. I said, he's fixing to start talking about praying, because I'd have to be praying before I'd get on one of them. Well, praise the Lord. All right. Okay, anyone else? Thank you, Pat. Yeah, Marilyn.
Well, I believe the Lord might have given me a little revelation here a few days ago and asked Him if I could share it, and He told me yes, so I'm going to do that. Let's see. Luke 2:1 says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." That's the King James Version, but the ASV says enrolled. And I think I've heard David preach on this, that, you know, it was like a census. Just they were counting everybody. And the thought just came to me is, you know, we've been hounded up here about filling out the census and participating in the census. And we did it. And but I was thinking about that, if this might possibly be a little sign in the natural of what's going on in the spirit, because obviously Mary and Joseph were in Bethlehem for the birth of Jesus, and the only reason they were there was because they went to be enrolled or to be counted and to be a part of the census. And so And also, I just hear all the time, mostly four of these old Christmas hymns, but I'll be reading my Bible or just praying, and I'll just start hearing "O Little Town of Bethlehem," or "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," or "Silent Night," or "Away in a Manger." And I know that we're all looking for this birth of the man-child ministry. And I just believe that was a sign that the Lord gave me, a little revelation, a confirmation in the natural of what's going on in the spirit. And I just wondered if anybody else had made that connection. I know that I think they do the census every 8 years or 10 years, but I know we all think that we all believe we're, you know, we're very close to the birth of the man-child ministry and the beginning of the tribulation. And if that's the case, this is probably the last census. So anyway, that's all.
Yeah. I've been hearing Hark the Herald Angels sing. I have been hearing that. I didn't tie the two together, though. I'm glad you did for me. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Paula. Your curtain back there is almost the same color as your hand, and it's hard to see your hand, but you've got to move it a little bit.
Okay, we'll do.
Yeah, just how, oh.
Well, I mustn't talk so much. No, I just wanted to say that I had a similar thing. I also didn't tie that in. We were onto something else, Dirk and I, and the Lord gave this as a confirmation as well. But I was driving in the car, and I just felt the Lord said to me, you know, put on the radio. There's a message. And I put it on, and it was on Classic FM. Now they usually just play instrumental, you know, classical music. And if it's anything where they sing, it will be opera or whatever. And here's the song. I've never heard it before. I find out now, I think it's quite a familiar and an old song maybe. But I just heard the words, and it was a choir of children singing it. The King is coming. The King is coming. And I was just like, wow, you know, because it was so spot on with what the Lord has been, you know, dealing with Dirk and I. And it just, this tune kept playing in my mind. And I had to go onto YouTube. And then I saw all the words. And it's just amazing, you know, where they say it's going to be, business is going to stop. People running around doing their thing, all of that's going to stop, you know, because the King is coming, and it's just a completely new ball game. And the person who, before they sang, this man also said, the first time when Jesus came, he came as a vulnerable, helpless little baby. And the next time he's coming, it's going to be something else. And I just thought, wow, I never thought about it that way. You know, this beautiful little baby and now this glorified king, you know. So it ties in beautifully with what you guys were saying. This happened last week, I think. So.
Yep, I truly believe we're real close. I do. I'll tell you about a vision which the Lord showed me one time. This has been years ago, probably 12, 15 years ago. I was on a mountaintop with some friends at their house here in Arkansas. And they had a house on top of a hill, and it was steep on their back, in their backyard. And you could look out across this the way there and see this, you know, the mountain went steep down, and it was two mountains coming together in there, and there was nothing. You could see air out there, just nothing but air. But anyway, I looked out as we were singing in the house. That people, there was probably 10 or 15 of us. And we were singing, and I looked out on the back deck, and there was angels out there. And I got up and walked out there and looked out across that thing, looked straight out in the air. And out there, probably, well, I don't know how far it was, but anyway, I saw these warrior angels out there mounting up on their horses in this Roman warrior gear stuff, you know. And there were angels all in the backyard. There must have been 200 angels there, all over that place. But they were getting ready for the battle. And that was about 12, 15 years ago that I saw that. Yep, Pat.
When you mentioned that, it reminded me of two dreams that the Lord gave me a couple years ago. I don't remember exactly when it was. But the setting of the dream was a snowstorm. And one, if you've ever seen the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, at the very end of this movie, It's a Wonderful Life, George Bailey he's at the end of his dream type thing. He's walking, he's about ready to give up, basically. And he's walking through this snowstorm and crossing a bridge, and a truck comes out and is going to start, you know, to run over him. But if you can just remember that scene where the snow was flying by there, this is exactly what it looked like in my dream. And I was, in that dream, I was walking down a sidewalk with this snow going like that. And I knew that I was being chased, and I knew I had to get away from something. And I was going down the sidewalk, and then I turned and went into some bushes and went through the bushes into kind of an opening area. And I knew that I had to get away. I was running away from something. And as I went off, it looked like there was a large field in front of me of snow, a snow-covered field, and of course the snow going all over the place. And then if you looked at this this field, it kind of drifted over and disappeared over the kind of the near horizon. And I was going to go that way, and then the Lord showed me to go to my right and to get down the mountain. There was to my right, it was it wasn't even a trail. It was more of a climbing thing. You had to climb down rocks and go from one rock to the next. And it was not hiking. It was like climbing down the face of this mountain, but you had to, take it to get down to safety is basically what I felt. And then I woke up, and the next night I had the very same dream. The only difference is when I was walking down the sidewalk and getting ready to go into the bushes, a lady showed up beside me. And this lady was, she was dressed in a 20s, early 1900s type of garb, maybe the 20th century, she had a long kind of a trench coat type thing, and her skirt went down to her mid-calf, and she was wearing one of these round caps that they had in those days that the women wore. And she had like mid high heel shoes. I'm going to say she was very well dressed for that time, that old time frame. And she was walking next to me in this snowstorm. And so we went between through the bushes again and got to the same field there. And then I said, and I told her, she started heading off towards over the horizon. I said, no, don't go that way. This is the way we have to go. And I knew that was the way to safety, is to crawl down that steep hill with, you know, stepping from rock to rock and kind of climbing down. However, I realized at the time she wasn't prepared to do, she wasn't dressed for that. And it would have been very difficult for her to do it in her, you know, mid-high heels or whatever it would be. And she kind of confirmed that, because she looked down there and saw that, and then she looked back over across the horizon, and she just started walking towards the end because it was a nice, softer way to get down the mountain. And I told her, no, this is the way to safety, go this way. And she just kept on going, and I started going down the hill, and then I was, I think, lifted up. I don't know if I was lifted up, but I could see, miraculously, I could see what was over the hill. And over the hill, it went over to a point to right at the edge, and then it fell off steep all the way to the ground, 2,000 feet. And I warned her, but she wouldn't listen to me, and she kept on going. And as I was standing there, the last thing I heard was she started sliding down the hill, screaming all the way down the hill. And then when she went over the top, she let out this excruciatingly terrible, blood-curdling scream all the way to the bottom, and then I woke up. And the Lord showed me after that it was a picture of those that are not prepared. I think it was maybe the apostate religion system of today or whatever, but it basically represented those that haven't prepared themselves by listening to the Lord and taking the path that he sends them down to prepare them for this time. And she not only wasn't prepared, but she wasn't dressed for the journey that was at hand. And unfortunately, she took the way that seemed right unto her, and it wasn't a good end. But anyway, that was a dream I had. So
amen. Okay. Anybody got anything else? What y'all want to talk about tonight? Anybody got a favorite verse that they'd like to explain to us? Covering. Greg says covering.
Who's covering?
If I can explain. I had a very interesting conversation with a lady Saturday a week ago. It was just kind of surprising, but I won't go into all that. But it has relates to some of the things that I've been through. And anyway, I won't go into all that. But she was suggesting, because of my situation and a battle that may be coming up, spiritually speaking, that it would be a good idea to be under some sort of covering. Spiritually speaking, now for her, it was, you know, her husband and her pastor. Where with me, that has been fairly loose. I don't have a husband, but that's been, you know, fairly loose because I've been an online believer. Well, been a believer who's been online. But yeah, I would be interested in some perspective.
Okay, I think I understand. You froze up there a little bit. Jesus Christ is our covering. He's the only covering that we have. If you're married, the woman has the man, the husband has the covering. But Jesus Christ ultimately is our cover. And David says that. I don't remember which Bible study that is, but he's got a Bible study that has that in it. But somebody else can remind me. But anyway, that's the way I see it. Yeah, Julie.
I believe we have a covering when we are walking in obedience to the Word of God, everything we've written, that's been written on our heart, and we're in agreement with everything, and we're not in willful sin. We have a covering. The blood of Jesus is our covering, and he's the head of the body. It's his body. We're under him, and as long as we're walking in that faith and that obedience, we're covered. He is our covering. God's over him, and there's that whole structure of authority that got set up. So, Greg, you are covered as long as you're walking in obedience to everything that's on that you know to do. You're confessed up. You got your sins are all confessed and repented of, and you're walking in holiness, brother. You're covered. Amen.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't disagree with you at all, Julie. But do I have a covering like, and I believe I do, over my children, for example?
Absolutely you do. You have your household. You're the head of your household. You are the covering of your household.
So I see that hand.
There's the scripture, it's in the 1 Corinthians chapter 7 about the believing spouse, their children are covered, sanctified. Yep. as long as you're walking in obedience and faith, they're covered under you.
So the context of this conversation, as I say, this particular meeting surprised me. This is a woman who is the part doesn't matter, but it was about a spiritual warfare that we may be going into over some of the things that have occurred to me in the legal system in past months. But when I say spiritual warfare, I mean spiritual warfare, not going into the legal system again. I'm just not going there because there's some things that just haven't been finalized. And And one of the things she suggested to me that I'd be under some spiritual authority. I mean, I appreciate I am covered by the Lord, but when I'm speaking to people who are in a building church situation, then they don't. And I didn't explain a whole lot about some of the things I'm tied up with in here, and I would expect that I have. I'm under, some subjection, for example, to Michael and David in this situation here. She was suggesting that I make sure I'm under some sort of covering before when we're considering going into some spiritual warfare on this, her and some of her people as well. This particular person is running for parliament, our state parliament here next year when they have an election. But she seems to have a great deal of inroad into a number of people and takes Jesus' presence into a lot of meetings, and it shows. It was quite a surprising conversation for me. I was, there are people who are, in church circles in Perth who are actually really aware of the spiritual things behind our judiciary and parliament, etc. Anyway, that's just some perspective.
Julie was talking about chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians. I'm looking for the right one here. Go ahead, Judith, while I'm looking here.
Greg, I think it's like a, I'm getting from you like a faith issue, like an uncertainty or a doubt that you would be protected if you go into whatever spiritual battle or whatever it is you're doing, that you've got some question about whether or not you're covered if you're doing any kind of...
It's I guess it's not really a faith issue, Julie. I'm not concerned that I'm not covered by the Lord, and I really don't want to go into spiritual warfare without him backing me. Well, actually me backing him really, but under his direction.
Right.
It was more being subject to someone who is like a spiritual father, if you like. You know, so that there's like a check and balance, if you like, on what's going on.
Amen. When in doubt, I guess, yeah, always reach out to somebody like Michael or somebody and talk about it and pray about it, get a confirmation, and if it's a yay, go for it.
Fair enough. Okay, now that sounds good.
With all the armor of God and all the host of heaven behind you.
Can I say something really quick?
Yeah. I'm sorry, Angelica, I didn't see your hand up.
That's okay. I just wanted to share. I think that a lot of these, there's, you know, just kind of starting out in the deliverance ministry, there's a wrong understanding that you have to have a covering from, you know, from a minister or from a man, because they believe that a man is their covering and not the Lord, you know, or ministry is their covering, because they don't understand that, you know, that the Lord is the covering there. But I mean, as far as kind of what you were asking, is that I think that all of us, you know, the government of God is, he's, you know, the man child, and of course his fivefold ministry, we're all subject to them to some degree. But I think that's a wrong understanding that the deliverance ministry has overall, is that we have to have a covering of a man, you know. And
that's the Nicolaitan.
Yeah, and I don't think that's correct, but certainly we want to be covered in prayer by a prayer partner or someone who's strong in the faith. You know, if you feel like you're kind of going into some territory, you know, where you really need to be covered, but, you know, again, be led of the Lord in everything that you do, you know. So I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, the Joe Britt put up there, that covering thing is in perfection. I believe he said, perfection through Christ, chapter 1, the covering and the cleansing. The covering, of course, is like Jesus said, it's the blood of Jesus. Amen.
Yeah, thanks, Joe and Angelica. And the latter part of what you're talking about, Angelica, was what I believe she was referring to as well. Okay, well, thank you. That's enough, and I'll refer to that chapter too. Thanks. Thank you for that.
Well, Greg, just you're covered by us. We, you know, we're here to pray with you and pray for you, and we just thank you, Lord, that Greg is covered, Lord God, in all his prayers, Father God, that he's anointed, Father God, to go after the enemy, Father God, and in the way in which you lead him to do that, Father. And I thank you, Father God, no weapon formed against him shall prosper, and none of your word will return void, Father God. And so I just thank you for great boldness and faith in his heart to do and come against the enemy, and the weapons of darkness shall not prevail, Father God, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against him, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen too.
That's right. It's like God, the Lord Jesus, gave us his authority over all the power of the enemy. He didn't make any, you know, step by step by step. It's like, those who believe in my name, they shall do these things. These signs shall accompany them who believe. So it's just knowing it, believing it, and acting in that authority. And if there's somebody putting, like, you know, whoever this other person is, I just pray, Father, right now in Jesus' name, that you would give grace to Greg to be able to minister to this woman and just make things clear about the covering and the authority in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Go ahead, Denny. I'll get right to you, Pat.
Yeah. I think what Greg is speaking of more is in like church life, are the elders a covering for those in the church, you know, as a body? The plurality of elders, are they like a covering over the body so that they offer protection, correction, direction, those kinds of things? If someone in the church or the body is you know, really needing certain advice or counsel, that they have someone that they put themselves under voluntarily and in obedience to the Lord, because they recognize the anointing and the authority that the Lord has raised up, as you know, they're the ones who teach, they're the ones who minister in authority, they're the ones that if there needs to be correction, they're there for that protection, that kind of a covering. And then the other one would be, was Paul, you know, as an apostle, as an apostolic, would he be a covering over other churches that he had been establishing and ministering to? Because he sent Titus back, I think it was, and that to appoint, or Timothy, one of them, to appoint elders, and they're establishing God's order there in you know, I think, is that the kind of covering that you're suggesting, Greg, or you're wondering?
Yeah, somewhat. I'll explain. Okay, so in the last several years, I have been subject to a whole series of, a whole series of court matters that relate to my association with the government in employment. I was hit from a number of angles, and I was running five court cases, five separate cases simultaneously as a self-represented litigant. And so there was, you know, boiled it all down, and this is what I kind of worked out in the last few years. This was all sorts of an attack on me, you know, and it was designed to either tie me up or for me to take my life. Anyway, that's over. That stuff is over now. I'm not, you know, my last step out of a courtroom oh my goodness, I won't go into that encounter, but I'm stepping over the threshold of the courtroom going out, because I had let many people know that some bad things were going on. And these were people who should have done something about it, and they didn't. And the Lord said to me from, I'm walking over the threshold, and that verse in Esther, where just around about the such a time as this, but that part where, you know, if you do nothing, then salvation for the Jews will arise from other places. But, you know, destruction is going to come upon you and your father's household. And that part of it was what the Lord was conveying to me about these people that I had. And I've gone through proper channels to advise, this is the stuff that's happening. And look, I did have a colleague who took his life because of some of the stuff that was happening. I just said, you know, regarding these people, Lord, mercy on them. And anyway, that was conveyed to them. But, you know, as I say, that was the end of me dealing with it through proper channels. And life has been quite difficult since. And, you know, like as you know, I've recently, for the first time in 2.5 years, have a place of my own again, which is quite magnificent. Let's not go into that. But I was at a seminar, and this is how this came about. I was at a seminar just a couple of weeks ago that was not overly pertinent to me, as it turns out. But in one of the breaks, I was speaking to one of the leaders, just very briefly, because she asked, "What do I do?" And it's a long answer to that question, to explain that. I had an email, not an email, sorry, a text message from her husband, and she conveyed to her husband what was going on. Now, that surprised me that I did, because I didn't give enough detail for someone to, you know, grasp it, I didn't think. And that man, who I all had met that weekend, said, "I'd like you to speak to this pastor person." And I thought, because she's running for parliament, and she has contacts in members of parliament federally. And I thought, I'll have a chat with her. But I had been praying previously that justice hadn't been done in the end. And I'm not out to attack people or bring people down or get people destroyed, but it wasn't a balanced outcome. And the witness of that to unbelievers like my parents, etc., is not, it's like, where was his God, that sort of thing. And so in the conversation with her, I was expecting, we'll have a chat to this guy, that guy. And really, I had written quite extensive letters to these people explaining what was going on. But the conversation I had with her and the hand of God that was on her and what she was doing as she explained it, there's something different, you know. And this is not a matter that, anyway, you know, this is not about me. There's a bigger picture to this. And this, I don't want God to resolve it just so that Greg's comfortable or whatever else. But there's a bigger thing in this. Anyway, so the conversation, as the conversation went, we've decided that we will spend 2 weeks just praying and listening to the Lord what He wants us to do, and in that she said, if we go ahead with stuff, we want to make sure that we are, we're not just going, we're covered, not just going, bullet a gate, going, oh, let's get this, come on Lord, catch up and fight with us, sort of thing, because that's when the Lord goes, what? So that was kind of the gist of the conversation. And I tend to think her point is valid. And what I'm thinking at this point of time is that, once that 2 weeks is another week to go and I've kind of resolved what the Lord's saying to me, I might just make a statement, I'll do it in writing to say, I might send it to you, Michael, and just so you guys know what I'm doing. If someone wants to pull me into line, then go ahead. Or correct me or whatever else.
Good, Pat. I don't know what you're talking about as far as what kind of a deal you're doing there. So if you want to send us something, we can look at it.
Yeah, that would be better.
It's like in deliverance circles, like if anyone's ever heard the brother that just recently passed, a prayer walker, I forget his name now.
Henry Groover.
Yeah, Henry Groover, right? So he had some really prayer warriors, right? So that would, they'd spend their time, with the Lord in deep prayer, being led of the Lord, what to pray for, covering him whenever, of course, the Lord just kind of alerted them that he was kind of going into some spiritual territory. It was pretty dark, And so that might be what she's talking about there. But
yeah, that pretty much covers it.
Yeah, so like Henry Groover was, of course, he was always led of the Lord in what he did, and the Lord took him in the spirit and things like that to come against principalities and curses and things like that. So but we have authority over those things regardless of whether or not to some degree, that we can always pray, the things like that we see and pray, against the wickedness, but certainly if you're coming against some higher powers or some ruling powers there, you want to make sure that you're covered in prayer and, you're being obedient to what the Lord says, because a lot of people kind of tend to do that a little bit gung-ho, like you said, and maybe the Lord's not with them.
Yeah, no, exactly. All right, no, that's the track. Okay, look, I've kind of received what I needed to receive for the moment. Thanks for that. Okay. And
I think you're going in the right direction. I think you're in the right direction, praying 2 weeks and asking the Lord what to do, and that's the way to go. But if you need some prayer, some interceders for you, we'll be glad to help you.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Anybody else?
I have a question for myself. Okay. It's kind of really been bothering me. As far as I've been saved, I guess maybe since 2014, 2015, I don't know. But I feel like I don't have some spiritual gifts that are really important, like to be able to see in the spirit and I just feel kind of like there's just this whole aspect of my Christian walk that's missing, because, through some of these giftings and some of these understandings and, the heavenly things and, having an imagination for heavenly things, because I've never had any of that experience. It's really just been faith, you know, just faith. And I know that's a good thing, but I kind of get really discouraged because I do ask and I do pray and I believe that the Lord can, you know, can do these things at any time. But I don't know, maybe somebody has an experience, you know, that they can share with me concerning that.
Well, let me just say this, Angelica. What you're doing right now for the ministry is so important, because I can tell you this, many, many people will be affected by it. Your gift right now is doing what you're doing. You are a gift to God with the knowledge and the wisdom that He's given you so far with the videos. It may not seem front and center and all of that stuff, but I'm telling you, and I know for a fact, that what you're doing and Eve are doing and the other people that y'all are teaching is going to affect millions.
Yeah, I do believe that, and I'm so thankful. I mean, I was just going to give the Lord a praise report because we're like 60% more views than we've ever had, you know, and, you know, subs are going up, and it's just been like, wow, thank you, Lord. I mean, you know, every view is somebody hearing the gospel, you know, and, you know, we pray that they receive it, and I'm so blessed because of that, but for my own personal, like, you know, that to me, that just feels like just business, you know, you know, I mean, I know it's for the ministry and this is so important because it's the word of God and I understand that, but it's something like in the natural for me. And I want to experience the Lord in those ways that I was just saying. And I don't know if it's, I get really discouraged to think that I don't have, like, I won't be able to have that, or like, there's a reason or something why God's not doing that for me. I don't know.
Well, I'm going to let somebody else go. Go ahead, Lana. I'll get right to you, Julie.
I actually wanted to ask a different question, but I did want to say to Angela that I kind of feel the same way. And when I hear Michael talking about what you're doing, I'm reminded that I've got myself, I have a very important job with my kids, even though some days it doesn't feel very important. And there are other days when I realize the Lord is still trying to clean out old habits and old understanding, religious understandings out of me before He can implement new ones. And so I'm encouraged that there will come a time when He can give me more to do than I am doing today spiritually. I also wanted to ask, when I was listening to David's teaching today, or maybe it was one of yours, Michael, the parable of the talents, every time I hear about it, I still don't have a clear understanding of how to explain to myself or to other people, that,
boy, you better sit down over there and be quiet.
He's excited. How to explain to myself or to other people that parable is not talking about our talents that we're supposed to show off in church, singing, playing piano, preaching, whatever people expect of us that turn into self-works. Is the Lord talking about talents? And if He's not, how do I understand or how do I explain that He's not?
It's the fruit. That's God's looking for fruit from you. That's what the talent to me is all about. The Jesus, He wants you to bear Jesus's fruit for yourself. That's what gets you into heaven.
Okay, so He gives it to us and we are to manifest it. And so the mm-hmm. person who didn't manifest it, they invested it into their flesh.
Yep.
And thus they were cast out.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. I'll have to think on it a little while longer, but it definitely is down the right road. Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, Julie. I'll get right to you, Debbie. I got to go down the line.
The talent thing, one of the things that helped me with that, Lana, is It's like we've been given all of these wonderful teachings. We've been given all of this information in the Bible. Are you doing everything you know to do to study and to walk in and follow Jesus? And if you are, you're bearing fruit. And if you're losing your life in this world, you're bearing fruit for Jesus. And that's kind of what that means to me for the talent. Part about that is Christ. How much of Christ do you want? You know, all of him. I want him. I want to manifest his life 100%, and I'm going to walk by faith that he's doing that in me, and that I believe him. And then to address Angelica, sister, I know exactly what you're talking about, because I've struggled with those thoughts too, and I hear about everything that's going on with what other people are doing, and I know where I was when I first started listening to all these teachings, and I just had such great faith, and then God brought me to a real low place, and there were times I thought I was reprobated. There were times where I thought he rejected me, and all of that. But it was to teach me things, and it's not that either one of us don't have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have them all. And God can use us in whatever place he wants to use us in. And the scripture that he brought to me, he just brought back to my memory here when I was thinking about it, was he who is faithful with little will be faithful with much. And you just keep doing what you're doing, and you know, you'll be doing something, you'll be out doing something, you'll be out shopping, you'll be out whatever you're doing, and God's gonna bring you somebody. And you'll be able to minister to him in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He's done it for me, and I wasn't looking for it. But Christ is in you, and he's going to use you. And you just got to be open to him to do it. There were times it's like, I don't know why I want to see demons. I don't really, but I don't see them. But I sure as heck feel them. I sure, you know, he let me experience what it is, the discernment of spirits, in that I felt so much evil around me. And that's just one, I guess, part of the discernment of spirit gift is feeling, you know, they their presence is very evil. And so that's part of that. And just, you know, being able to be used in like the gifts of healing, the gifts of miracles, the gifts of, you know, helping people get delivered. You know, I know you've done that. And I know that when we speak the word, there's stuff happening in the spirit, because God's word does not go back to him void. When we speak his word, there's stuff happening in the spirit realm. And just because you may not see it or feel it, or feel like your gifts, you aren't there yet or whatever, you are. You know, it's all faith, and you're just as important to the body of Christ as anybody else, and so am I. Thank you, Jesus. We all are. You know, every member of the body of Christ is very important, and you know, God's going to show me exactly where I fit, and exactly what all my gifts are, and he may use me in things I haven't even asked him for yet. But I hope to be raising people from the dead, and walking on water, and you know, the things that he said. He's unlimited. We're going to do great and mighty things. So you believe that. He's going to do it in you too.
Yeah, everybody's going to be able to see that. Everyone. And by the way, Julie, demons they're not what they cracked up to be. I can guarantee you that. I can tell you that. All right, go.
Thank you. Thank you, sister. I wanted to respond to Lana because I was working on a video and... the talents represent, you know, like Michael said, you know, we bear fruit initially, and you know, it's all by the grace of God that we bear fruit. And of course we bear fruit when we sow our gifts into the lives of others, either natural or spiritual. And but you know, there's a lot of people who think of godliness as a way of gain. They use their gifts to gain in the world. You know, they use their beautiful voice to sing in the, you know, for the world, and they kind of waste their talent that way. And so they bury it in the earth. They bury it in their flesh. for the sake of gain. And that's how I heard the teaching, you know, I can't remember exactly which one. I might be able to send it to you if I can remember later, but that's how I heard David was teaching on that parable there, that they bury it in the earth and they're not using those gifts to benefit the body, you know what I mean? Which will in turn bring you more talents and more fruit. And so you'll continue to do that reaping and, you know, sowing and reaping and sowing and reaping.
Thank you, Angelica. Please do, when you get a chance, send that over.
Go ahead, Debbie.
I'll say exactly what Angelica just said, because David mentioned that this morning. Someone had, I think, scriptures on the talents or something, and he told about how it was a revelation to me this morning about that one who buried his talent in the earth. You know, I always took that literally for some reason. And it was a revelation to me today that it was you're burying your talent in the earth in a way by not using it, letting it bear forth fruit. So just, I was gonna, same thing Angelica just said. So nothing new here now.
Okay.
Thanks, Angelica. Amen.
Okay. All right. Well, I can say this also, Angelica, with great confidence. You have an ability to teach this thing that you've been teaching all these people. That it just amazed me that how easy it is for you to do that. And it just comes natural. And I think it's all from God. So you're doing a wonderful work. With the teachings of what you're doing, what you're showing them how to do these things. And I know for a fact you hadn't been doing it long yourself. So, and you're getting results almost immediately on the website. So that's a spiritual gift that God's given you.
Amen. All glory to God. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Amen. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Greg.
Just excuse my ignorance, Angelica. The videos and stuff they're mentioning, is there a link to these? Is this, or are we talking about the stuff on the UBM site, or?
Oh, that's okay. No, we launched a YouTube website about 2 years ago, and, you know, we're a bunch of spiritual people who kind of try to resist technical things as much as possible. So, so, it wasn't doing so well. And I was one of those, like, I didn't want nothing to do with YouTube. And I was a medical coder for about 8 years. And so the Lord had promised me to work for the ministry about a year prior to me working for the ministry in June. And so I was like impatiently waiting for that. Cause I was just like, oh, like just so tired of coding. And anyway, you know, I'm factious bosses and all that stuff. So, but anyway, so I just basically learned, you know, YouTube from scratch, and it's really not a big deal. I mean, you know, any teenager off the street these days can do it, but for, you know, but for us who have kind of avoided it, you know, for a lot of years, you know, it's just kind of a feat for us. So, you know, we figured out, you know, what we're doing wrong, and we started applying the new things to, you know, to YouTube, and we're seeing great success and the word kind of going forward and having that geometric progression that, you know, that the word, you know, by word of mouth and all those different things that people share the different platforms, you know, for our teaching. So we're really excited about that because, you know, that's, you know, you can be on the street corner and evangelize all day long, but you really can only reach so many people. But this is such an amazing way to reach so many people around the world. So, so we're doing that, and we're kind of, you know, getting the ball rolling on some other stuff, and it's all a learning curve for all of us. So I'm just kind of put in a sort of, you know, process manager kind of position to kind of streamline this process, if you will.
So you're going to put the link or channel in the chat, aren't you?
Sure, I will.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, Pat, go ahead.
Just got a question for Angelica. I have to say that I haven't really gone through and listened to them because I've listened to them already many times. But do you are you thinking about putting anything on that is shorter, like 5-minute blurbs?
You know, David doesn't say that 5-minute blurbs.
I don't say that, you know, I say that kind of seriously in a way, because a lot of people that cruise through YouTube will see, I know there's a lot of people that have videos on there, they're 2 hours long, and a lot of people just kind of pass by them because they don't have enough time to sit down and watch 2 hours. But if there's a little 5-minute ditty there of something that would, you know, catch like a track, it's almost like a track, you know, a little 5-minute blurb to kind of advertise it and then tweak their interest, they might go searching for to listen to something a little deeper or longer.
Yeah, thank you, Pat. I appreciate your question there. We're kind of working on that. As far as our subscribers and the UBMers that you know are really close to us, we, you know, what David's desire is that everyone would go to the website to go to the teachings, because we know that at some point, you know, YouTube is just a part of the beast, and these things won't be available at some point. But we do recognize that, you know, people have a short attention span, and so what we're doing right now is we've hired a brother, Chuck, to kind of do like another panoramic and cut the videos down to about 30 minutes, and do a part one and a part two of what originally was one video, and so where there's a number of things we're doing to kind of shorten as much as we can. There's some other stuff that we won't have access to, like until we get more subscribers, until we reach 1,000 subscribers, we'll be able to have a community page, and we can send out those, messages that are kind of short and kind of engaging towards the people. And if Michael's up to it, we can do a live stream and, pray for people or whatever, there's a lot of different things that we can do with it. It's just, as I'm learning and researching, I have to kind of gear everything that I'm learning towards our ministry, because we're not monetized, we're not really trying to promote self here, we don't want to become sort of gimmicky or whatever, and so there's only so much we can do as far as some of the videos are concerned, but we're kind of looking into some of that, what you're talking about. There are shorter videos that we do have on the website, or audios that we do have on the website that we want to put with video, like 45 minutes or 30 minutes, some shorter, but we really don't have a lot of short audios to choose from. So maybe we can get Michael or one of you to put a little short message together and put it out there. and that'd be really great and encouraging for anyone. So but yeah, that's something we do pray about, is the audience retention, because it does affect whether or not YouTube is suggesting our videos.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. I've got what day is available to that? I don't think I have anything available right now. All right, anybody else? Claire, did you want to say something? Okay. All right, I thought you did. There it is. You got it up there. I guess that's it. Is that it, Julie? Okay. Hey, Larry, you're running out of light there, brother. It's kind of in the dark. We need some prayer here. See, you can't even see to turn the mute off. That's all right, brother. Get back. You look like you're having a good time. All right. Anyone else? Let me pray for this ministry of UBM's and Angelica, and all of them, Claire and Rion, Debbie and Denny, and Julie, and all of them that are involved in it. Father, I do. I lift up this group of people that are doing a wonderful job getting these videos out in a good way, and that it will attract many, many more people, Lord, and I thank you for that. And I ask, Father, that you send your warrior angels out around each one of them, because the enemy doesn't want these things out there. And we know that witchcraft is prevalent. We thank you, Father, for quenching all the fire darts of the enemy toward any of them in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that all those darts that are thrown at them, all those arrows that are thrown at them, go right back where they came from. And we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we just ask that you place in each one of them wisdom, supernatural energy, and knowledge and how to do all this stuff. Lord, we thank you that you're the one guiding them, and you're going to get the glory. And we praise you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, that many, we anoint each one of those videos. When they come out, it will just be like a big old fish hook with a great big worm on it, Lord. People will snatch it and just go with it. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your protection upon each and every one of them and their families. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, that's just about it, isn't it? Does anybody got a prayer request while we're still?
Amen. Thank minutes? You, Michael. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Amen. Okay. Oh, does anybody got a prayer request before we get it closed out tonight? Yeah, Leo.
I'm going to pray for Brandy.
Okay.
Okay. He was sick yesterday with vertigo, and we prayed for him, and he got healed, and he got up today, and he was back at it again.
So, Lord, we
lift him up to you, Lord God, and we cast this vertigo down. The spirit of vertigo, it's got to go in the name of Jesus. He is healed by your stripes, Lord, and we know that. And he knows that as well, Lord. So he's believing that he's healed, and you need to manifest that for him and get rid of all his demonic influences. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that he is completely healed of it. We quenched and we come against any kind of witchcraft that's been thrown against him too, in the name of Jesus. We cast it down as null and void right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for healing Brandy, yes, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we just thank you for another good night of your leading, and it was. And we just praise you for it, Father. We ask, Lord, that you give us all a good night's sleep tonight. I tell you, Lord, I ask and I pray that you give Angelica a good spiritual dream tonight in the name of Jesus. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. One that she'll get up and it'll be so vivid to her, she'll be able to write every little detail down. And it'll be a good one. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, y'all.
Good night, y'all.
Night, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Bless you.
Bless. Bless. Bless.